Good morning. How we doing today? I'm feeling sprightly. So today we've got our third part in our series of audio development journals done in the last few days, which will probably all be posted together later today. Today we're going to talk about running a BTC Joe node or client. We're going to talk about mining a bit, transactions a bit, you know, with internal consensus, possibly a bit more, and encouraging people to want to use this stuff and how we could do it better. So initially, we had spoke about how transactions were going to be... You might have had to be running your own TSN blockchain and your own, you know, specific directory in order to propose these transactions to the cloud issuer. And then I kind of spoke about how you might actually not need to do that, and this is all going to tie into encouraging use. So what I'm going to explain is, in order to mine and in order to run a node, mine, and initiate transactions, we may design it so you don't actually have to be running your own TSN blockchain. Now, let's be clear, because I didn't clarify this in the last one. This is part of the ongoing communication hurdles, which are good hurdles to have. You know, with time they get ironed out better than not being able to create solutions to problems or having problems which cannot be solved. This stuff is good. Good problems to have. So running your own TSN blockchain is having your own TSN address with your own content and directories and so forth. So in other words, you may not need to have your own website or running your own server in order to run a BTC Joe node, right? So maybe the BTC Joe node is going to be real simple. Maybe it's just going to be a client, and you download this client, and it boots up, you know, a node or a database, which syncs up with the rest of the network, which are just running a BTC Joe node. So this would encourage people to do so without them having to learn all the intricacies of producing TSN references with your own TSN address and having your own blockchain and all that. You just, you know, like Bitcoin Core, you just click download and then it boots up a node which syncs up with the rest of the network. So that stuff, you know, the BTC Joe node would really be pretty simplistic in that it would just have two functions. It would just download the blockchain, you know, sync up with the network, and then it would basically have a ping function which allows you to communicate with BTC Joe or whoever the cloud issuer is and ping them over information. So it would pretty much just be those two functions, and by doing this really simple two function thing, you could actually enable not only running your node but mining and transacting, right? Because in order to mine or initiate transactions, you should be running a node, because that's how you know your transaction is getting included in a block. You know, and how you know, we spoke about how you need to be able to run a node in order to mine the next block, which until enough people are mining is simply just going to be signing a hash of the most recent block and, you know, pinging it over. So here's the big thing is initially you had to run a TSN blockchain, your own, in order to do that to mine, but maybe we can make it easier and maybe you don't need to do that, okay? Because what we want to incentivize is people running these nodes. It's okay. I don't see why you'd have to be running your own TSN website and address and all that, because as long as you can ping information to me, you could sign the hash of the most recent block, whether it has difficulty or not, and you know, and that could just be like a button, is you click mine and you you're just pinging information by mining, right? So the point is, as we spoke about in the last one, in order to receive an input, you could really have any address on any cryptocurrency blockchain, which is what's cool about all this. So maybe in order to mine, you just have to be running a node and ping me from a node with your own, you know, before it was assumed it was your TSN address. So you could kind of get rid of all this having to post all that on your own TSN server. You could just ping me by also including the Coinbase reward address, which could be any address on any blockchain, instead of it being your own address. And so this opens up a lot of things, and it makes it much easier because people can just get involved by downloading a node, and then that enables them to mine and transact without necessarily having a TSN address. And so let's back up, further clarification. I said you include your own address, but really what you would be doing is you're signing the hash of the block with the right characteristics with whichever address you want to receive your Coinbase reward to. And that's what's being pinged over to me for inclusion in mining. But so this removes that first step of having to have your own TSN address with your own mining directory and all that jazz. You could literally just mine by downloading the client and providing whichever address you are mining with by using that for signing the hash of the block. And so also, you know, really what you're doing is you're mining a hash of the most recent block that has been published, and you're hoping that gets included in the coming block, if that makes any sense. So BTC Joe's perspective is going to show, you know, whoever has successfully mined the previous block is going to be shown in the candidate block. And then as new blocks are built, you'll have a number of issuance transactions in each block, which will determine, you know, the difficulty, whether or not a difficulty target rate kicks in. So block two will have the mining transactions for block one. Block three will have the mining transactions for block two, and so on and so forth. And so it's a pretty simple starting point. You'd really only need to sync up and be able to ping me information. It could even further be stupid proofed by you just click mine and, you know, I guess you could add on, it would be like a plugin, like, you know, Electrum does for Ledger or anything else, where you just plug in a hardware wallet, or maybe it would be Electrum itself, which has the plugin of a hardware wallet, and so you just click mine, and it you know, you have your BIP39 derivation path of addresses, and it'll just take the most recent address, like as if you're doing a transaction, and it will take a hash of the most, the tip of the blockchain, is that the right phrase? I'm not sure, the most recent block, and it will sign that hash, or it will do some basic SHA-256 hashing like the Bitcoin Core client does if there happens to be a difficulty, right? So that could be the next steps, but you really could do both mining and transacting without having that built into the client. So that could be how you get started. It's just a sync up and ping function, which is doable. So you would just have to download this client without even going through all the other stuff in the TSN protocol, and that allows you to build your community, get your cloud out there, get people transacting so they could start tipping and all that, and paying for CloudTrend if they want by just downloading your client. And so it's basically like a wallet as well. Now, by running the own node, you have the public ledger, and we'll see if that's going to be, you know, how Bitcoin has a separate, it has like the blockchain and then the UTXO set. So we'll see how that plays out in terms of, you know, BTC Joe is going to have his transactions directory, so, but you don't have to have that, but you, by running a node, will have the ledger in some capacity, whether it's a separate UT, like eventually maybe it'll be you know, built into the client where it shows like your balance, but it doesn't initially have to be that, because you could just deduce that from the blocks in the ledger. Or if that's a separate UTXO set, it will be a part of downloading the blockchain, right? And so that's basically the nuts and bolts of it. Now, we had spoke about, you know, I think like internal versus external. We've been going into that a lot in depth. The internal, I think, is what we're going to focus on now, because it allows this, you know, tipping-like function, which is really cool. And I think we'll kind of put the external in our pocket for now. And I think most likely, you know, we spoke about how if you're going to make the external your main, if it was just going to be external before we had really figured out all this address and tipping stuff, that it would be based on these inputs into an external blockchain. And so do you want to tinker with the monetary policy to better suit such a system, to be less scarce, to better ensure that they justify the transaction fees on the blockchain they're being embedded into? But I don't think we're going to do it that way. I think a better approach to start is, you know, this internal consensus approach. And if, given that we are choosing that path, then the monetary supply kind of is easy to, you know, copycat Bitcoin's halving approach. And it's like your mining input represents 50 units, or at least some variation of that. You could start with a different number, but it's easy to create that abstraction with the internal approach. So, you know, with Bitcoin, it starts with 50, and then you'd know after 210,000 issuance transaction, the Coinbase reward is worth 25, and so everyone knows, it's pretty clear what those, you know, initial inputs in this chain of transactions represent. And then from that, you can deduce change addresses and stuff. You know, if there's a train with these Coinbase rewards, if there's a change address, it represents, you know, 50 minus whatever it is, if it's in the first 210,000 issuance transactions, and if that's where it was created, and then if it's in the second 210,000, it represents 25, and then it's kind of just easy. So it's looking more like we're going to start with that and put the external approach in our pocket, and that may be an option later if it's useful, but those inputs are going to be based on, you know, the Bitcoin asymptotic monetary policy, I think. Now, where it gets interesting is this aspect of fees, right? So if you have a difference in the outputs and inputs, that represents fees. And it's interesting because in Bitcoin, that goes all to whoever the miner is that solves a block. And in Bitcoin, you have one miner who solves it. Now, so the question is, does that go to the cloud issuer, who would be me in this scenario we're talking about, or does that, you could do it differently? I mean, it's me who's doing the, it's the cloud issuer who's, you know, rules consensus of this state of transaction, who just follows these basic rules of updating the ledger. But I suppose you could also do it, and maybe this is a clever thing, is in Bitcoin, the transaction fees, you know, continue the, in theory, continue sustaining the security of the network after the block subsidy has disappeared, right? So you could potentially do it so whoever is successfully credited in a block gets, you know, a pro rata share of the transaction fees, just like simply like that. So if you had 50 mining transactions, issuance transactions of a block, they get, you know, 1/50th of the transaction fees divided by 50. And then it's kind of like, well, so after this subsidy disappears, that is what encourages people to mine your blocks. But we're talking about 130 years down the line. So who knows what the future will hold. But, you know, it's like if you're living, well, who knows, right? Maybe you're going to live 250 years. But it's kind of like we're gods at that point if you could live almost, you know, till eternity, then maybe people want to make your record redundant anyway. It's like your own Bible, right? Like, still the Bible going around, and people are selling it to you. So maybe people will be selling your blocks, your blockchain, and get money on it. But nonetheless, I digress. We'll see how it goes. Or maybe you split in that share. The issuer gets one pro rata share along with all the other miners who successfully mined the block. So that could be interesting. What else? We're nearing the end here. I guess that's it. I think that could be really good, is just to have this simple client which just syncs up with the network and downloads your node, your blockchain, and all it has to do is to start with is ping, you know, my node or me, and that's really simple. And then you could just get right going, and if you construct you know, the mining and transactions correctly when you ping me, then you're already getting credited with some sweet sexy clout, and you could easily just start spending it by pinging me from that node. And so this encourages people running the node and making your blocks redundant. And it sort of ensures that in order to mine, you know, they have to do it from this node, which could just be run on your own computer. It doesn't have to be like a public server website, like with Bitcoin. And it also ensures they're running the node in order to initiate transactions. So I think that's could be a good first step to work towards in your cloud issuer clients, right? Again, all the language, we're going to have to, you know, there's the TSN protocol, which is how you create your own blockchain and these references, which have to do 3 out of 3 signing to go within them. You have like the block time limit and all those rules. And then, so this is kind of a separate thing, which is how you mine and transact. It was going to be a directory that both the transaction initiator and the mining initiator, as well as the cloud issuer, had to run. But now I think it's just you don't have to have your own TSN blockchain to do that. So it would just be the cloud issuer has its own, you know, transactions or UTXO set directory or whatever you want to call it. Maybe it's a subset of the node, but it will have its own rules, which are very similar to Bitcoin transactions and how that ledger and monetary policy is maintained and updated. Anything else? I spoke about the new Git Truth stuff. And so it's pretty cool. You can just create these thread channels to update the state of a repository. And further, you know, so I think in order to create these sub repositories is going to be similar to, you know, I spoke about one in one of the tips I've been working on. There's like going to be mandatory directories, which is you have to run your own blockchain, your own point, you know, point your blockchain handle, whatever you want to call it, directory, which is your own blockchain. And then you got to run the accounts directory to open up your accounts. And then I suppose at least one more directory to produce content, whether that's dimes, trips, you know, Git Truth or anything else, whatever you're going to be. Whatever type of content you're making, and then you're going to have your common directories, which are like these directories which have their own unique set of rules that everyone agrees to in running them, and then you could have like customized directories, which are just your own set of rules, which you don't have to get anyone else to agree, but have to at least follow the base protocol rules. But so what's interesting in this Git Truth approach of building, you start with a TSN reference and you could have these like sort of branches. Maybe that's how you create, you know, it's like, how do you create in a very standardized and official way a common directory like dimes, Git Truth, or trips, like that have to have their own set of rules, and like how do you propose it and get other people to agree to it? And so if you make it like you officially propose you're going to propose it in a TSN reference, which is going to be like sort of a branch. You're going to propose these common directories. And since I am the, you know, Git Truth root access core maintainer, whatever you want to call it, as of now, it's like I have to sort of approve these, but anyone else can potentially participate and do pull requests, whether they're acknowledged or merged is a different story, but it allows, you know, collective participation to create these common directories. And so we've had a bunch, you know, we have the dimes and all that, but they've kind of been refined over time, and that's going to continue. But so once I get to a point where it's like they're refined enough, then I'll probably do my own directory tip, which will be a TSN reference towards that directory, which will create officially a common directory of dimes and all that. So it's kind of like a more standardized way of updating it all, which allows people to get involved if they so please. And you got to have a TSN address for that. You definitely do if you want to do Git Truth contributions, or even you know, or right, if you want to help make common directories, you gotta have a TSN address. So, all right, 24 minutes. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Stay tuned. Peace.